that the tech export sector is our second largest source of offshore revenue, creating sort of about 3,000 new jobs in New Zealand this year. 2021 report, we estimated there's over $100 million of new wages going into the South Auckland economy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of this NZX Opening Bell podcast. This is a chance for us to connect the exchange with our partners and stakeholders and the financial markets ecosystem. My name's James Sharp.
And I'm Doug Vrain.
And it is a pleasure for us today to welcome Greg Shanahan, Managing Director of TIN, the Technology Investment Network. Hello, Greg.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So, Greg, we've known each other actually for quite a few years, and it's fair to say there's probably a lot of questions we've never really asked you. So this is your chance to really be candid and honest with us, perhaps, which is great. So I think just starting from the top, we talked to TIN, the Technology Investment Network. What is it and what's its purpose?
So TIN was started way back. The company was first registered in 1999 was created to host an event for Silicon Valley captains of industry who had come down to Auckland for the America's Cup.
Wow.
And so that was TIN's first event. Then after that, we decided to continue it as an entity and then started producing the TIN report in 2005. So this is our 18th year producing data on the tech sector.
Well, nice. Well, we'll definitely come to the TIN report later, but obviously a long history. But what I wanted to also ask you before we get into TIN, I mean, what's your kind of personal journey and where did you kind of get into sort of the tech sector more generally, so to speak?
Yeah, so I've only really had three jobs. So there's probably only three interviews that I was successful in, and one of them was my own. So it's not a good run. After I left university, I went overseas and I worked for the American company AC Nielsen, a market research company, and then came back to New Zealand in 1988, then worked for Fisher and Paykel Appliances for 10 years, including some time in the US. And when I came back to New Zealand, I was approaching a big number in my age, and I thought I'd always wanted to have my own business, so I thought it was the time to do it then.
What types of things you've seen in terms of sectors that are trending or interest levels out there? What's kind of the that's one question. Then what do you think the reputation of New Zealand is globally in terms of the tech scene?
So I think there's some big mega trends. If we were to try and look at, say, from 2005 to 2022, that people probably aren't aware of. So increasingly, if you look at our top 200 technology, quote-unquote, exporters, in other words, global tech companies, they're increasingly really large companies now. So there's over 30 with revenues over 100 million, over 60 with around about 60 with revenues over 50 million, four with revenues of a billion. So these aren't promising little Kiwi startups. These are companies with a broad geography in terms of markets and very sophisticated operations. And then in terms of, publicly listed companies have been a key driver over the past couple of years. So the whole revolution, again, it's not well understood in terms of funding, both in public funding and private capital, has really been revolutionary. I think particularly as the size of companies has increased, you're going into the higher stratosphere in terms of funding, so more funds internationally now find New Zealand companies accessible, and so that's been transformational. So the environment compared to 2005, compared to 2022 is night and day. Two of the key drivers in terms of market sectors have been health tech and fintech, which have been on a long-term run for over a decade.
Yep. When we first started doing this, we've been at the exchange now 30 years talking to VCs and small companies, and there seemed to be like a funding gap for growth capital that we always heard about. What are you seeing in terms of, you mentioned interest levels from U.S. investors possibly, but are Kiwi companies able to get access to international capital for this growth money that they need? Is that still a hard thing to do to get money overseas, or is it becoming, they're on the radar a bit more?
I think that certainly the current environment's become more difficult globally, not just for Kiwi companies, but across the world. But there's a realization globally, and particularly in Australia, about the growth opportunities around NZ Tech. So there's increasingly more people in the community who've made money out of tech and reinvesting their money, exiting entrepreneurs who are putting their money in. So there's a far more diverse investment pool, and people have solid evidence of the wealth created by investing in tech companies.
I'm gonna turn it over to James. I have one more question or comment. We were in Australia last week talking to a company about their listing aspirations, and they have a little piece of software that they would like to spin off and start it as a SaaS business, and they particularly wanted to come to New Zealand to do that. So I think the reputation, for whatever reason, is out there is going well for SaaS and tech in New Zealand.
Yeah, nice. Well, actually, just off the back, when you're talking about, you know, those kind of success stories and the kind of funding gaps and things like that, I've actually got a basic question, which is, when we think about, you know, and to the extent that, you know, people are listening, when we think about tech, it's a huge space.
Mm.
So what are the layers below that? What are the key kind of segments? And to what extent do they differentiate when it comes to investing, if there's a way of actually explaining that?
Good question. So really, when I started TIN and the TIN report, I really had little frame of reference. So I tried to create our own definitions that made sense, and have been pretty agnostic about changing them if they didn't make sense. So we divide the tech sector into three, initially what we call three primary sectors, which are ICT, which is primarily digital, high tech or high value manufacturing, so self-explanatory, people who are making stuff, and then the other is biotechnology, so pharmaceuticals, etc., life sciences companies. And within that, there's a range of secondary sectors that can, within one's, so a secondary sector is a market sector, like a fintech, like a health tech, like a communications, like a transport, that can have any one of those three. So that's focused at the particular market itself. And I think in many ways what we're seeing, particularly this year, is really a strong growth across a diverse range of market sectors. And so it's just a sign, I guess, that the world's changing quickly and these opportunities are democratized. So not only is the pool of funding spreading within New Zealand and things like equity crowdfunding or sharesies for listed companies, which is, you know, a hugely exciting venture, but things like equity crowdfunding are spreading, democratizing access to tech investment.
Yeah, it's interesting how when you've, from an investor perspective of that in mind, that you do have these different opportunities within what is essentially all kind of tech and innovation that, I guess, and with a different expectation.
Yeah, and we've seen, talking about democratizing it, there's been more access for, you know, regular investors with the Booster Innovation Fund is listed now. That's a science and technology early stage kind of portfolio. And like you said, the crowdfunding, and there's more funds that we talk to that might potentially list, and it seems like there's just more people wanting access to some of these emerging growth companies. So it's a very good thing.
Yeah, I kind of think, reflecting now on so nearly 20 years of the report, or certainly 20 years of TIN, as an organization, what we might have achieved, and, you know, why even do it? You know, I produce a report and nice, but so what? Our goal was for the report were two things. One, to quantify the sector, to say it's a thing. I think for most people, you have to make something a thing. It has to be tangible. Most of us can't imagine things that are not.
So right.
You have to create a thing that is. And so I think we've helped cement, not alone, but we've helped cement the position of the tech sector in the ecosystem of the broader New Zealand economy. And then the exciting thing in terms of listed companies is, what does success look like? You know, so what are the ingredients of successful companies? And that's really aimed at saying, if I'm trying to evaluate something that Doug or James is doing, does it have those hallmarks? And it's really been exciting to see the development of successful strategies and the transfer of knowledge between companies. And that's where I think New Zealand's got an advantage because we're quite a small society.
I think you just turned us to both into entrepreneurs, so I appreciate that. Thanks, Greg. So you mentioned the TIN report, and so again, maybe taking a step back, you can be at the launch, obviously, this year, 2022. I mean, how do you put this report together? What's in it, and what's kind of noteworthy kind of this year versus previous years?
Yeah, so one of the reasons we created the report is we couldn't find those segmentations with Stats New Zealand. So essentially we went out and started surveying people. So our office in Devonport and I went down to the Devonport post shop and posted paper forms and off to companies. We got some back.
So what, you were literally going around putting stuff through people's letterboxes, more or less?
Sending it through the post.
Through the post.
Yeah, yeah. So then we got more flash-looking reports because a simple old A4 didn't really cut it.
Yeah.
And then we've gone to sort of writable PDFs, and now we have a Qualtrics survey that feeds the data automatically in the database. So to understand how that operation is scaled, so I at the time, I surveyed about 70 companies that first year, probably about a dozen responded. So we relied on public information. This year we surveyed over 1,200 companies.
Wow.
So, you know, the base of the pyramid is now massive.
Yeah. Fantastic. And just moving again to this year, I mean, any particular highlights or insights with the launch being imminent?
Yeah, I think we see really strong growth. And why this conversation and the work that NZX does is so important is now that the tech export sector, is our second largest source of offshore revenue. There'll be over 60,000 people employed by the tech sector globally, creating sort of about 3,000 new jobs in New Zealand this year.
Wow.
In the 2021 report, we estimated there's over $100 million of new wages going into the South Auckland economy. So,
wow.
You know, as in terms of a contribution, you can't ask for much more.
What are you seeing? Like, that brings up a good point with we hear always about shortage of talent and how hard it is to find talent. And how is it in the tech sector in terms of, from what you've heard talking to these companies, and where are they finding people and how are they filling these roles? And is it a big issue?
Yeah, it is. But I think a problem, it sounds really cheesy, but a problem is always an opportunity. So there have been certain structural imbalances in the talent pools the tech sector is addressing. So there's more opportunity for Māori, Pacifica, women, migrants, an increasing part of the tech sector, and that's a good thing.
What is the favorite piece of tech that you use?
Probably my iPhone. I use it too much.
Yep.
What's one tech company that you are really inspired by and why?
Probably the standout for me is Fisher & Paykel Healthcare. It's so big and so profitable. You know, it's going to be one of the first real mega companies. They've just bought a piece of land in Karaka that's 2.5 times their current site in Highbrook. So using just the amazing contribution. If you look at the things that they do, this is not an ad for Fisher & Paykel Healthcare, but we've got a Fisher & Paykel Healthcare Foundation. They're investing in the diversification of talent pools into their company, doing all the right things. And so I guess one of the things for the TIN report is saying we don't need to imagine. We're not trying to gaze into the future. We're trying to reflect the good things that are happening now. And so if we can spread the news about what other companies are doing, that's a powerful thing.
Yep. Do you have a favorite quote that you have, either in personal life or business, that you've kind of thought of?
Probably never, 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 never give up. And
it's a good one.
Yeah. And the other one given to me by my daughter was, imagine what you could achieve if you knew you wouldn't fail. Entrepreneurs who run tin companies are pretty much of that ilk.
It's a great one.
Yeah. That's a great one, yeah. Favorite podcast or book?
I think probably the book I read a long time ago, Bill Bryson, Brief History of Everything or Short History of Everything. Two recent books that are must read are Bad Blood about Theranos, the Elizabeth Holmes' story, and I'd strongly recommend Empire of Pain about the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma and OxyContin. Very eye-opening books.
Do you have a favorite place in New Zealand that you like to visit?
Oh, I live in one of my favorite places, which is Devonport, but anywhere in the South Island. So we go skiing in the South Island every year. It's amazing. Wanaka, Queenstown, fantastic places.
Thank you very much for being here. Remind everyone, if they want to learn more, they can go to 10100.com. Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the time. Thank you, James.
Cheers, Greg.
The information provided in this podcast is a guide and is intended for general information purposes only. The information is not investment advice. The information should not be relied upon as a substitute for detailed advice from a professional advisor. The podcast may contain opinions or forward-looking statements, and actual results may vary from what is expressed in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the presenter or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of NZX. NZX Limited is not liable for any loss suffered through relying on the information in this podcast. NZX makes no warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information in this podcast. All intellectual property rights in the content of this podcast are owned or used under license by NZX, and NZX's written consent is required to use, redistribute, or reproduce the content, or use it to create other works.